amazing how many churches he has said that they send that out, and he's always got, don't post it on the internet in red letters so that it stands out. He says, and it's amazing how many people still do it. So anyway, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'll be in verse 22. Oops. To start with, 22 and 23. Verses we'll read to start off. And let's go through 24. All right, so Genesis 3, 22 through 24. And the Lord... Am I on? Yes. Sorry. All right. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this opportunity to be back into our journey through this doctrine of sin. And tonight we are looking at the response of God to the sin of Adam. So we just pray, Father, that as we look at this, that again, as I have prayed before, that we would state that sin is sin, just like you do, and not try to sugarcoat it, not try to discard it or to cover it up and all, but to actually confess it and get right with you. So we just pray for your blessing tonight. Use this night to your honor and glory now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, the response of God to the sin of Adam. L.S. Schaeffer writes, one individual, the first of the human creation, committed one sin, and that sin being apparently so innocuous, men are prone to ridicule the thought that God would notice it at all. Yet that one sin is, according to the divine estimation, sufficiently evil to cause the degeneracy and depravity of the fallen person who committed the sin, and to cause uncounted millions of his posterity to suffer in the flesh and die, and the vast majority of them to spend eternity in the realms of woe. Can you believe that there's so many people out there that believe that, I can't believe that God would cast such judgment on partaking of the fruit in the Garden of Eden? Well, that's not exactly what's going on here. What's going on here is man was disobedient to God. That's what's going on here. It wouldn't have mattered if God had said, don't look on that tree, and man looked on the tree, would have been the same sin, right? He was disobedient. It's not how minute we might think the sin is. It's disobedience to the Word of God. And I've said many times, not just from this pulpit, but from several that I've preached from, that any time we disobey, even in the slightest little bit, we're still sinning against God. Because unless it's complete obedience to His Word, we are being disobedient. Well, that's harsh. Well, no. When God said we are to be obedient to His Word, and when we're not, it's sin, we have to get on board with that. We have to say, you're right, God, that is sin. And so anything short of total obedience is disobedience, and disobedience is sin. It's pretty simple. Then we see the response of God to the sin of mankind. God counted sin so terrible and wicked that they only price he deemed sufficient to atone for its awfulness was the infinite suffering of Christ upon the cross. Our sin was so bad, so terrible, so wicked that the only thing that could atone for it is Christ suffering on the cross. God could accept nothing less for payment for our sin. Nothing less. If he could, Christ wouldn't have to die, right? But anybody who knows anything about the Word of God knows that the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of mankind. That's why he came. And he knew. In fact, God tells us in his Word that from the foundation, before the foundations of the world, before God created the world, he knew that man, when he created man, would sin, and they already had a plan for reconciliation. Now, you and I would sit around and say, okay, if God already knew we were going to do all this, then why did he go through all the trouble of creating us in the first place? Well, because God had a plan. God had a plan. And God's plan is going to come about whether man tries to frustrate it or not. Because man has tried to frustrate God's plan since the beginning. Since Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden. How sin affects all it encounters. The effect of sin on mankind. God placed man in a world with no death, no disease, no sin, no sickness, and no suffering. God promised man that if he sinned, he would surely die. When man sinned, he became under the curse of sin. When Adam willingly partook of that fruit, we as men like to blame Eve, but the truth of the matter is Adam is the one who disobeyed God, because God gave the command to Adam. Adam willingly disobeyed God. Then we have the curse of spiritual separation, death. Man was separated from God and thus died spiritually the day that he ate of that fruit. That forbidden fruit, the day he ate of that forbidden fruit, he spiritually died. He was cast out of God's presence and was unable to return. He is doomed to spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, people say, well, why would God even create hell? Well, he created it for the devil and his angels is what he created it for. But there's, can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but there's a scripture that said hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because many have rejected the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And in doing so, when they take their last breath here, they are in hell. The Bible's very clear. There's no, I know there's some places and some groups that want to tell you, no, there's this go-between place where they go and you can pray them out of that. No, the Bible doesn't tell that. The Bible is very clear, right? The rich man died, and in hell, there was no gap there. It was the rich man died, and in hell, Lazarus died, and he was in paradise. Of course, paradise we know now after Christ died and rose, and he carried paradise to heaven. So now it's up there. Matthew 7:23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So God says that if you have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have not accepted the free gift of eternal life, when you stand before him, he will say, I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He knows who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who's not. If you're not written there, you're not getting in. He's going to say, depart from me. He never knew you. And not to mention, he mentions that ye that work iniquity, And then Matthew 25:41, it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Yeah. Everlasting fire. People think that hell is a joke. It's a place to joke about. It's not. It's a real place. It's a literal place where people are spending eternity there right now. Terrible place. Terrible place. And yet people joke about it. Then Revelation 2:11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." As long as you still got breath, when that rapture takes place and that trumpet sounds, if you know Christ as your own personal Savior, you're out of here, right? But if not, we're going to, this body is going to lay down in death at some point. Praise the Lord, it's this body will die here, but I will live forever. I'm not going to suffer the second death. But there's many, many who have, because they've rejected Christ. They don't understand what they're rejecting, but that's what's going on. Then Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, there's going to be a day when we're going to rule and reign with him. Yeah, it's going to be nice, isn't it? It's going to be a lot different than it is right now. We're going to rule and reign with him. Then Revelation 20:14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. For those who have rejected Christ, one day they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It never goes out. It's never quenched. People say, well, they'll burn up. No, they don't. I can't explain it. You put something in a fire, I mean, they cremate bodies, right? What happens when they cremate a body? It's a bunch of ashes. Every once in a while they'll say there's some teeth and stuff in there, but they're ashes. When you're in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you don't burn up to ashes. You feel that torment, that pain, that suffering for all eternity. Just knowing that alone should make us be excited about telling people about Christ so that they have an opportunity to accept that free gift of eternal life. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God talks so much in His Word about hell, about the lake of fire. It's warning after warning after warning after warning to tell us we don't want to go there. Praise the Lord, if you're saved, you don't have to. Praise the Lord, if you're not saved, you can be. And you don't have to. That's the good news, right? There's an escape from this, if you want it. Then the curse of physical separation, death. Upon physical death, man's spirit is separated from his body. Man began dying physically the very day he ate the forbidden fruit. Since this time, it has been appointed unto all men to die and then face the judgment of God. We're all dying. In fact, I tell people all the time, from the moment you're born, you begin to die. Not the best news to hear, right? What do you mean? I just was born and now I'm dying? Yes, we begin to die. I don't know about you guys, but you look in the mirror at my house and I see more and more gray hairs. They're dying. I see, in fact, I was telling Ms. Ramirez, it used to be I needed my glasses to read. Now I'm finding that I need my glasses to see. things are a little blurry now without them because time has progressed for 45 till however old I am. Almost 15 years of wearing glasses over the time, my eyesight's gotten worse. It's part of life. This body is dying. It's the way it is. It's just hearing. My hearing went a long time ago. But it's one of those things. We just begin to die. God told us we do, by the way. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. God told us this is what happens. We're not going to live forever here. You get saved, you will live for all eternity. Which is, I don't know, that's like the biggest gift you could ever have, right? That eternal life. Genesis 2:16 through 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You go, well, Adam didn't die right away. Yes, he did. Spiritually, he died as soon as he ate of that fruit. Spiritually, he was dead. And then Genesis 3:6-11. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Verse 19 of Genesis chapter 3 says, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Yeah. God takes this obedience thing seriously. And when we're disobedient, there's consequences to our disobedience. Whether we like it or not, we don't get to choose the rules. We don't get to choose how we play this thing out. God gets to choose. And he gets to decide. And by the way, he is just, and he is holy, and he is righteous. So whatever he does is just, holy, and righteous. We can say, well, it's not fair. It's fair. We have to picture this in our minds. God gave them the Garden of Eden. There was really no work to do, right? Because there were no weeds. There really wasn't a lot to do. They just live and enjoy everything in the garden but the fruit of that one tree. I said it's typical of the human race, right? The one thing you cannot have is the one thing you want. We could have everything our heart ever desired and been forbidden one item, and that's what we want. We're not happy till we have what we can't have. And that's exactly what's gone on here, right? The one thing God said no, had to have it. Had to have it. Genesis 5:5 says, And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. He didn't live forever. People say, 930 years. I know. I'm dealing with this body. I'm thinking 930 years. I don't think so. This body wouldn't last that long. It's not doing so well now, right? But it would not last 930 years. We're not designed to live that long anymore. Why? Sin. That's what it all comes down to, is sin. Then Psalm 90 in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, 70 years, by the way, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I know people already, they'll say, well, I'm already 87 or 88 or 90 or whatever. Man, I'm living on somebody else's time, right? Because you got 70 years, maybe 80 years. If you make it over 80 years, I'd say you're doing pretty good. According to the Word of God, you're doing pretty good. Because that's not what our life expectancy is. And they were saying the other day, our life expectancy is dropping. It used to be it was increasing. I heard the other day they were saying it's dropping. We're not going to live as long as we have been. Really? Wonder what's going on. Something's happening. Then John 19:30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Even Jesus died. But Jesus laid down his life. You know, it's interesting, even in the Word of God, they said, they killed him, right? They killed him. No, he laid down his life. Now, he had to die the death that he died, and God's Word had to be fulfilled, so everything had to be done exactly as it was, but he laid his life down. He didn't... This is going to be a little confusing for a moment, but he had to die, but he didn't have to die. Do you get that? He had to die because that was the plan, but he's God, so he didn't have to die. He chose to die. He chose to take our place, to pay our sin debt. He chose to do that. When I think of it that way, I think, man, why can't we be obedient? He chose to die in our place. By the way, he chose to die in our place knowing that we wouldn't be obedient. And he still chose to die in our place. But why can't we be obedient? He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's not asking us to do that. I don't know anyone personally. Now, one day I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to get to talk to somebody who got to die that way. But I have never been asked of the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified on a cross here. He has told me to take up my cross daily and follow him. But he has never told me that I'm going to die on the cross. But Jesus was told that's what was going to happen when he left heaven's glory. Before he left heaven's glory, actually, he knew he was going to come and die the death on the cross. He could be obedient even unto death of the cross, and we can't be obedient even when he asks us some of the most simplest things. Hard to believe. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the free gift of eternal life, offered to all of mankind. Now, will all of mankind accept that? No. The Bible is very clear. Narrow is the way, right? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, the Bible tells us. But wide is the way, right? That leads to destruction, and many will go that way. Many. Many. That's why I have this hard time when people say, most of the people living in the world are Christians. No. Now, you could use the statement that most of the people living in the world today, quote unquote, call themselves Christians, right? But you can't use the fact that many of the people living in the world today are Christians, because that doesn't go, it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. And we have to be willing to accept the fact when people reject Christ, when we share His Word with them. We don't bring the increase, God does. And God's the one who draws them. If they reject, they're rejecting Him. We just have to give the truth of the Word of God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Then we have the curse of social separation. As the blame game of sin began, I always tell people when they start blaming other people, that all started in the garden. Everybody, I mean, Eve blamed the serpent, Adam blamed God, right? God, it's your fault because the woman that you gave me. How'd that be God's fault? Could Adam, God gave us free will, so I'm going to tell you that first and foremost. Could Adam have said no to Eve? He had the ability to say no. He didn't. Be nice to hear. I mean, there's speculation on all kinds of things. Adam loved Eve so much that he didn't want to be separated from her, so he ate. There's speculation all over the place. I can't wait to get there and just say, "What were you thinking?" Right? And he'd say, "Right back at you," right? Because we all would have done the same thing. Because again, it's human nature. We're going to want what we can't have. It happens all the time. How do you think that, oh, look at how fast time went. How do you think they sell stuff so easily? I mean, we had record numbers of RVs being sold in 2020. It wasn't hard, right? You don't want to get on one of them dreaded planes. You might get COVID and die before it lands, right? So, pretty easy. If you want to go anywhere, you got to travel by yourself. What better way to travel than in a motorhome or some type of RV? They were selling them out. They were selling like hotcakes, right? And then, why do you think people buy up? Because the Joneses next door bought the motor coach, right? Well, I can't sit over here next door with this little RV. I got to go get the motor coach so I can be like the Joneses, right? Because we want what we can't have. And we made it very easy. Especially in the United States of America. Do you know you can have terrible credit? You don't even have to have a job. And you can go out and you can get a loan. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. I always thought you had to have income to be able to show that you could pay it back. You don't have to do that anymore. They'll just give you money. Of course, they repossess it when you don't pay, but you know, one of those things. It's just, you know, what's the big deal, right? All right, well, we're going to stop there because I realized how late it is, and we'll pick up there next time on the